hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be able to speak to you today. First of all, I wonder what he's doing with us. I want to, first of all, say thank you to John and Dawn and also the leaders of this great network, Lifeline, for the opportunity to be able to share. I want to thank every one of you who are hosting us. I'm not speaking only on myself behalf, but on behalf of all the others who are with us and partners in the ministry. You want to say to all our hosts, I would not call one person's name, but every one of you are hosting us and have hosted us in the past, we want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Sharing the heart of John, opening your home, and receiving us as families into your home. I want you to put your hands together for you connected as families. I want to say thank you to John Singleton, who his presence was in the different nations as he would physically walk into those places. I could remember times that he came into St. Martin and just to be with us, not necessarily to preach within a church. And that's one of the things where relationships started for us, in he coming to really be able to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to make sure that he understands what is happening with us as a family. And I want to say thank you and appreciate. Leroy Hill could say the very same thing. Albert could say the same thing. And also George Moyo could say the very same thing, that he would come to those different nations and he would really be it. Presently, there is a limitation. The limitation in that he's not able to move as he is supposed to. But I love what he said when I got there. He said, I've not given up the thought of coming to you. Because he has hope, he has a faith that God, if God gives him that other opportunity, that is. But I want to say to you, he spent himself in coming to us. Today he may not be able to do that, but this is not over because God is not finished with him yet. How God does things, we don't know. Let me tell you something. God uses a man in his way. He calls him how he wants to. And he moves him around how he wants to. But there comes a time that circumstances happen. And when those circumstances happen, it is still God who moves beyond it. I want you to think about it a little bit. There's an Apostle Paul who wrote more than 13 books of our New Testament, where there is 27. He was one. He said, I'm the least of all apostles. And he talks about experiences that he had with God, where the power of God moved upon him. And like George just tell us, the anointing, he saw the anointing in a great way. It was tangible. People would touch in many, many ways. But there were times where with all the anointing that he had, he was locked up inside of a prison cell. And some of the books that we have, they were written at a time when a man who was able to move could not move. A man who was able to speak could not speak. But he was able to do what he could do even in his state where he was bound in the prison. They had him bound because the enemy did not want him to explode the world for the Lord. But I want you to understand, his faith was strong. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished the course that God has given to me. And I know that there is a crown that is awaiting me. In other words, even though he was locked up in prison, the prison did not lock up the power of God in his life. It didn't stop him from doing that. And even John in this situation may not be able to move. You would listen to John over the phone and you'd never see that John has a situation. Because his voice is not limited. His voice is still based on what God has given to him. Why? Because God has touched the most important part of John. And it's not the physical structure. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to applaud, because the spirit of John is not limited. The spirit of John. And that's what the anointing is about that we speak about. That's what the cracking is about. That's what the explosion is about. Because inside of this man, there is a power of God that still says to his wife, I'm still holding on with God. And most people would say, with all that John has done, why isn't there a healing? And from there, I'll be able to speak to you today. The topic I'm speaking to you on is, when I decide to prepare, I heard you need a second touch. But I would go a little deeper and say, we need a second touch. The question is, do we in ourselves understand that we need a second touch, that we would need to have a deeper relationship with him in order to experience that second touch? How many of you have been touched by God once? You know that you've been touched by God at least one time. How many of you at this present time in your life, you feel that where you are, you feel in your perspective you should be in a deeper place in God? How many of you feel that there is some things that is calling you, like a deep, that is calling you to a place of deep? There's a place that you should get into, that you need to get to that place to experience God in a more transformed way, where the power of God transforms your life. How many of you would understand that the anointing is here, but you have not yet tapped into that anointing? How many of you would want to experience it more than just a coming to a meeting? How many of you would like to experience it not just like what happened last week, but you need something different? You need a fresh touch from God. Before you could have a fresh touch from God, because the point is, because he is spirit, that means you will not receive a physical touch. That means if you're going to experience another touch of him, of God, you would need to be able to be in touch with the person who is able to touch you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand, presently, we are so much of flesh that we hinder the power of God in our lives. And let me put it that way. We need to be more spirit. And based on what we are seeing in a physical realm, but God wants us to see beyond the spirit, that physical realm, into the spiritual realm. He wants us to see it. He wants us to see him through a spiritual point of view. He wants us to receive him based on the move of the Spirit of God and not just on the move of man. And yes, most times the only way that we are touched is when men touch us. But today, would you just lift your hand and say, I want God to touch touch me. And it's good to hear my voice. But I'm limited. But there is the unlimited one. When he speaks the first time, but we do not hear him. The reason why we do not hear him, because we are trying to hear him with our physical ears, but he is saying to us, it's only he who have ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So that means that the Spirit is speaking, and you need to be able to have him. And there are times he has spoken to you one time, but you will not move because he has not penetrated your spirit, man. And because you have not heard him in your spirit, you need to hear his word a second time. How many of you would really need, you know you have heard him before. You heard him one time. But you want to hear him another time. Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Because it had already come to him in chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2. It came to him the first time. But the first time he took another route. And he went to England. God sent him to Nineveh, but he rented a ship that was heading to England. With your Bible. He went to an island called Tarshish, and Tarshish is England. He hired himself into Tarshish. God did not send him here and find himself handicapped, find himself in a position where God did not ordain for him to be. But even if God did not ordain for him to be in Tarshish, God allowed a fish to swallow him and take him back to Nineveh. The fish dropped him back in Nineveh, and the Bible says it was supposed to be about 8 days for him to get there, but he find himself doing it in one day. And the only reason why he didn't run there is because the fish, all through the struggle that the fish had that it could not digest because of someone who had missed the voice of God, someone who had taken his own way, the fish vomited him back on land, and he was able to run to Nineveh to declare the same word that God, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. The word of God always also came to Jeremiah in chapter 33, verse 1 to 3. And if you could put that up on the screen for me. I'm thinking about you connecting with God in such a way that you would hear his word. And maybe he has to speak to you more than one time. And in that case, he's speaking to Jeremiah the same word. I want you to notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 1, chapter 33, verse 1 to 3. Do that.
While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You going?
The word came to him. How many times? Second time. And what was the word? Call to me, and I will answer you. And that's very important. Like I said, What I would really want to share with you is not just the word coming a second time, but you need a second touch. And for that, I want you to read it from Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. I need you to see something here. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. It's there. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Next verse. He took the blind man by hand. Can I use your hands, please? Richard. He took the blind man's hand and led him where? He led him out, takes him out from the crowd, and brings him outside. When he had read it and see for yourself. When he had the anointing will come, and sometimes it may not come the way you want that anointing to come. The anointing is here, but you would have to tap in the anointing differently, because if he had to do it in the midst of you, where he spit in the man's face, every one of you say, gosh. Yuck! He spit on the man's eye and put his hands on him. Notice, it's very important to understand that he did not pray for the man. Most of the things that Jesus does, he never prays. But in fact, he was the greatest prayer warrior. He did not pray because there was a situation. He prayed even before there was a situation. And therefore, when there was a situation, he did not go to God for the situation. He addressed the situation. He speaks. Everybody speak. Can you say that? Speak. Many of us are not speaking directly to the situation. Jesus takes the man outside of the village, takes him outside of the community, takes him outside of the gathering. Sometimes for God to touch somebody, he would have to separate that person from the midst of people, because that could be a hindrance for what God wants to do in their lives. And notice, he spit on the man's eyes. When he finished, he touched the man's face. He put his hands on him, and Jesus asked him a question. Do you see anything? Let's look at the man's response. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Whoa. A man who could not see, when Jesus takes him outside and spits in his face, touched this man. This man got surplus vision. This man could not see because he has a limited vision. He couldn't see no man. But that tells me that this man was not born blind. Why? Because the first thing he's saying is, I could see man tall as trees. Or I could see man as trees. That means he was accustomed of seeing man before. And therefore his situation or something happened,
And most times it could be an evil force that caused his blindness. It could be a sickness. It could be some situation that caused the man's limitation. Today, every one of us have a limitation. Every one of us have a limitation that we need Jesus to touch us. And this man needed it. And therefore, when Jesus saw this man's condition, after he touched him, he asked him a simple question. Can you see? And Jesus, he said to Jesus, I see men tall as trees. What does Jesus do? Notice. He looked up and verse 25. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eye. That's the second time. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. So that means he was seeing blurry, but he was overseeing because he was not seeing men the way that he's supposed to see them. Sometimes some of us, we get to a place where we experience a little of God, but we still have a problem dealing with man. This man had a problem dealing with man, and what Jesus had to do was to regulate this man's vision. Some of us, we need another touch where Jesus could regulate certain things in our lives. And let me say something to us. Some of us, we need to be able to understand it's important to speak the truth. You cannot live your life as a believer, as a child of God, on lies. You may lie to the leaders of Lifeline. You may even lie to John. You may lie to Dawn. And you live your life on lies. You know that you're not pleasing God the way you're supposed to please him. You know you're not walking. When you're alone, you're not walking in integrity. Because what you're doing does not support the lifestyle that you're speaking about. If you notice, Jesus pulls the man aside to have fellowship with him. He's walking with him, and he spits in his face. Why is Jesus spitting in the man's face? Because this man's condition was a condition that caused Jesus to be angry at the demonic spirit that has blinded this man. When somebody gets you mad, the next thing you want to do is to spit on them. Jesus was not spitting on man. Jesus was spitting on the demonic power that was operating in man's eyes. And he spit on it. But what really happened? The man, when he finished, he touched this man. So that man experienced the anointing of God. But what really happened? It was not complete. Sometimes the first touch of Jesus only releases you to a certain degree. But if you notice, Jesus still was not finished. He still has the ability to finish the work in you, even when there is a limited result. Amen? So he touched him a second time. How many of you are happy that he touched him a second time? Today, that's the same thing he wants to do in your life. He wants to touch you a second time. I want to speak to you on behalf of my friend. I said to you, there is a man who's walked with God or went through the nations for more than 50 years, have served not just England, but served the world. Can you put your hands together for John? Now it seems that he's like the Apostle Paul in prison. Don't have his ability to move. His physical body is not the way that it used to be. But his faith is still strong in God. Because It is God who started the work in him. It's the God who called him to go through the nations. It is the prophecies of the word of God that he heard, like Jeremiah, that tells him to call on him and go through the nations. It is because of John why the four of us sitting here today, we are here because we have a relationship with John, because God touched our hearts, and because of that, we are in relationship as a family. But we need to understand also that God will have his way in his life, and no one can tell God what to do. So most of us, we might be praying, and we're saying, well, we prayed, we have held countless hours of prayer on John's behalf, and we are not seeing the situation change. Jesus had that problem, because when he takes the man aside, he expects the man to be able to see clearly, but the man tells him, when he asks him, can you see? The man said to him, in truth, I can only see men as trees. That's where Jesus could fix the man's problem. The point is, the person who can change the situation of John is Jesus. Can you say Jesus? The person, and that is, he knows at that point in his life that there are things, that are resources that are there inside of his life, that the best time to receive it is while he's in that condition. That John would say, even if you destroy my body, even if the sickness might destroy this body, my spirit is not destroyed. Can you say amen? That is John's faith. There's never a time that Dawn, having to assist him, will feel, oh, it's annoying. That Jamie will feel, or Daniel will feel, or Nathan will feel, oh, I don't understand what God is actually doing. They understand the life that we live is a life of faith, and we need to trust God. And all he's asking of us today, can you believe me? Can you believe God that he will touch him? Can you believe God that God is able to touch you? Can you lift your hand and say, God, I believe that you're able to touch me a second time? How many of you need that second time? How many of you need that second time? That you say, I need a touch. That I like Jesus to walk with me. I like Jesus to take me through. And notice, he doesn't pray. He spit in the man's face. I'm not saying he's going to spit in your face. But if that's what it takes to stop the power of evil. And I want you to understand, as I close with this, the ministry of Jesus is not limited to salvation. The ministry of Jesus is about deliverance. And there are times within our ministry where we have not invited the Jesus who delivers. Jesus who rebuked devils from working in the lives of people. And that's what I'm saying to us, it's important. And there are times, if you notice, as I close with chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It tells you the ministry of Jesus, what it entails, not just a ministry of salvation. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and that speaks of the anointing. Because he has what? He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim. Can you bring up that screen, please? Freedom for the. What else?
The Lord's favor.
To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Notice, he has anointed me to heal. He has anointed me to make declaration to those that have a poverty spirit. He has sent me to bring restoration. So the ministry is about restoration. It's about salvation. It's about reconciliation. It's about release for those who are bound by demonic activities. And that's what our ministries entail. That means people will be touched in those different areas. That means God could use different areas, because sometimes persons are in bondage because of demonic activities. Let us pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to understand that just as Jesus pulled this man outside of community to minister to him, there is somebody that you want to pull out today, that you would open their eyes, you touch them, give them a second touch. And some people may be a third touch, maybe a fourth touch, maybe a 50th touch, maybe 100th touch. But Lord, can you touch today in Jesus' name?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.